What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. We're coming at you from our home, the Las Vegas Fight Shop, inside the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Once again, you know what we do. We talk boxing, MMA, pro wrestling, and hip-hop when stuff is popping off like it is today, and we'll get to that in a second. Andreas is out of town. He's covering Sundance Film Festival. I know it seems like he's everywhere. So, we have a guest host once again. And I would love to introduce the amazing Helen Yee. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here. Love it here so far, surrounded by fight gear. And we were just talking about everything trending in combat sports and hip-hop, right?
Yeah, we're going to start off with that. So today, I'm pretty sure all our listeners have heard of it. If you haven't, you're under a rock today. Kanye West versus Wiz Khalifa. So much backstory there. So much history. The tweets were insane. So much trash talk. So before we get into it and what they said and everything that went down, I want to give a little tale of the tape, put our corner spin on it. So in one corner, in the blue trunks, introducing Wiz Khalifa, 28 years old, 6'4". I'm guessing he's 165 pounds. I might be exaggerating.
He looks like 115.
Listen, he is a featherweight. What is he? What is that? They don't even have that men's division.
Yeah, he would be a strawweight.
He's a strawweight, a male strawweight. He's the champ, de facto champ in that weight class. And his trainer is Amber Rose. And in the other corner, in the red trunks, we have Yeezus himself, Kanye West, 38 years old. He's the old man. He can still be champ, though. Cormier is 38.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather.
Hey, it happens at 38. We're estimating 5'9", but it's Hollywood height. He might be like 5'4". Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. 5'4" with those shoes insoles, right?
Right. 185 pounds.
Tom Cruise wears it.
He has the metal jaw, has to weigh a little bit more. So I give him 185, and he is trained by Kim Kardashian in the famous Kardashian gym.
Yes, and I know where he got the 185 from. His ego, right?
Oh, you gotta count that.
Yes.
You gotta count that. That has to weigh on you.
That's true.
185. So that is the tale of the tape, and today Kanye lost his mind on Twitter.
Yeah. So I'm looking at these tweets. Are these real, or did someone make this up?
No, that's him. Like, he confirmed it was him. I love that he used the Kim cry face emoji.
He really did.
I'm glad he bought the emojis.
Yeah.
You know, it's supporting family. Good job by Kanye.
Wow, he really went off.
He numbered a rant. That's when you know you're upset. It was like, first, he listed something. Second, he went all the way to 20th. That is how upset he was. And some of those are just downright disrespectful.
So,
he talked about Wiz's kid.
Oh, no, you do not bring an innocent child into this.
Oh, I'm so dirty.
So, but what started it? What set him off?
So, Wiz Khalifa commented, because Kanye West changed his album title from Swish to Waves. And Wiz Khalifa paid homage to a Harlem rapper who started the Wave movement. And that rapper is now in jail, Max B. But Wiz Khalifa was just saying, hey, you know, if you want to use Waves, give a shout out to Max B. He started it.
That's true.
He put KK in a different tweet. Kanye West thought this stood for Kim Kardashian. It did not.
It's very egotistical.
Yes, he had to be talking about him, right? So it does not. Wiz Khalifa uses it all the time. Kanye was not trying to hear that. He went on this rant, and it seems like he's been saving this inside. Like, when someone just touches your soul.
That's true. It's like the bucket man, and then it pours over.
It happens, though. I understand, like, your ex's new guy, you probably hold that resentment in for a while.
Yeah.
You know, they have a
Rob Kardashian now is with, so it's a big mess.
It's a whole weird love triangle octagon situation going on. I don't know.
Love garbage.
Wiz's kid's stepdad is Kanye's brother-in-law. I'm telling you, it's the ultimate 6 degrees of separation. So somehow Kanye dissed his nephew in this whole feud.
That is horrible. Yes.
So with all that being said, Kanye was hurt. And I give him a pass, though. You know, it's one thing to know that your ex is doing really well. It's another thing to see it every day. you have to see the person pretty much that she left you for, and then he goes and comes at you. So all of those emotions, all of those feelings, I don't care if Kanye is married now, I don't care if Kanye has two kids, all those feelings came out, and he was hurt. So he went after Wiz, and some of the stuff was pretty funny.
Wait, so you're saying Kanye was upset seeing Amber Rose do well now?
I think so, yeah. Really? I think that's, like, at the core of it. Because with 20 tweets, you just don't, like, get mad at someone and tweet them 20 times. Like, this is, like, deep-seated anger.
I thought he left Amber for Kim.
He did leave Amber. But once again, we've all gone through breakups. You still, you know, you don't want to go through a breakup, leave somebody, and they'd be like, oh, look at this. They're with this guy now.
So, apparently, Amber
went back, and that is the tweet of the day. So,
wow.
Amber's tweet, and I quote, "Aw, at Kanye West, are you mad I'm not around to play in your
blank hole
anymore? Fingers in the booty.
B-word.
Yes.
And where did she get that emoji with the finger?
With the finger emoji. That's what made it so great. The finger emoji?
Did she buy that from the Kim Kardashian app?
She probably made
app
that.
Thing?
She needs to launch her own apps now just so everyone can have the finger emoji. She started something. That's incredible. One, that's a lot of information.
That's
I'm not judging
too
Kanye. Do whatever you want in the bedroom. That's a lot of information.
That's a lot. And people actually have kind of went off and made different stories about that and about what Kanye likes. I have no comment.
I've listened to all his albums. I've listened to the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy album. Like, I can imagine what the guy is into. So this isn't out of the realm of possibilities to me. Like, okay, if you tell me Kanye likes that, so be it. I can see him liking a lot freakier stuff than that. But for her to put it out there, it's just like, but she did. I don't know, he talked
about
the
kid. Yeah, that's true. And he went off, I mean, he literally, like, blasted them. And like you said, 20 tweets, how many combinations, you know, if you're, for example, like, hitting someone or something, you know, if they're in a boxing match, like, he just went off on it.
Herb Dean would have stopped that.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
Wiz had two
tweets.
It's
like
Kanye
he was,
had
20. Yes. It's almost like, you know, Travis Brown poking Matt Mitrione in the eye and not getting stopped. Someone's got to say something.
Yes. I'm glad Amber came in because Wiz was kind of, you know, he took the high road. He's like, whatever.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. And I'm glad because Amber doesn't back down from anything. And what Kanye tried to accomplish in 20 tweets, she did in one.
That's true.
She was just like, okay, hold on. Let me end this. All right, I'm out. Let me go
and
back
to
doing whatever I got to do.
He deleted his tweets.
He did. He also kind of apologized. He was like, oh, I thought KK stood for Kim Kardashian. Now I know what it really stands for.
Wow.
Positivity. I was like, all right, man. Like, it's too late now. You went on the rant. Like, we know how you really feel.
Yes.
It was great album promo. Now we
That's
all know
true.
The album comes out February 12th.
And he was thankful for that.
Yes,
that he got easy publicity
now
and more than that.
It can't end here, though. Like, there's so many
moving
parts.
Yeah, what do you
think's
next? If this is a chess game, what is next?
Man,
will Wiz just come out and say something? I don't see him as that type.
Well, knowing hip-hop now, there's never, like, a rap beef anymore. Like, Drake was the last one to actually make a song about someone. So
and
I'm
Meek
not
Mill, right?
Yeah, I'm not expecting music to come out of this, sadly. Next, it has to be a war between the women. I want to see Kim. Kim
yes.
has to hop in. So you're just going to let Amber stick up for Wiz, and Kim's not going to say anything? Kim has to go after Amber. Amber's going to get real down and dirty. And
and bring in, I bet you, Blac Chyna.
Blac Chyna has to come in. Blac Chyna's going to be like, I got your brother.
Yes.
It's a mess.
This is a weird story.
Tiger's
going to
come in.
Oh, he
Tiger's
is.
Tiger's going to be like.
Is he still with Kylie?
He probably is. She's like 12. But he's in there. So Black China's going to hop in. And then Tiger's going to be like, so what? You got the brother, but I left you for the little sister. And then it's going to be.
The younger, the better.
I need to see every stage of this.
So this is like not just a tag team if we're talking pro wrestling. Would this be like a Royal Rumble type match?
This has the the ability, has the potential to be DX versus NWO.
Oh.
It's that grand. Like, we always wanted to see that in the 90s. That's what this could be. There's that many components.
That,
where you just cue the music. I just need Rob Kardashian to come out doing the Shane McMahon, skip with the music. Just calm down.
With his socks.
An arena, everything.
Let's bring that to Las Vegas.
People would watch. If Dana White called right now and asked Kim to fight Amber Rose at the main event of 196, that would be the highest-selling UFC pay-per-view
of all
time.
And they can bring it back on pay-per-view.
All time. They would sell out. You thought Rousey versus Holm was great. That would be the highest-grossing women's title fight ever.
Oh, yeah.
For the Ratchet belt. The first Ratchet division championship in the UFC.
So, who would win, though? Amber's got the height advantage, the reach advantage.
She got the power, I'm sure. Kim, I would say, can take it to the ground, but Amber was a stripper. She has flexibility. Her jits is probably incredible. You got to have core strength and thigh strength. I can see that.
Yeah, all Kim's good at is it laying there?
Yeah. Is she lay and pray like GSP?
Maybe she'll win by split decision. Literally.
Kim doesn't have the best of shots. I'd say if they could get Chloe to go in.
Oh.
Chloe, size-wise, has a little bit more. I don't know how her conditioning is.
She looks feisty.
She does. You know, she's juggling her own men's struggle right now.
How's her endurance, because of the size?
She's like Rumble. She's like Rumble right now. It's Chloe in the first where she's losing.
Yep, that's true. She better hope there's, a knockout in the first.
Amber's the total package, though. I feel like Amber has the strength, the leg muscles. I can see her, just busting out like a really good Kimura on the ground. Yeah, just out of nowhere, she's like witty and crafty.
Guillotine, I can see a submission happen.
Because definitely submission.
Because if she, gets on the ground with Kim, for example, like we just stated, Kim ain't going to get out of that.
No.
She doesn't really move. She doesn't do anything. So it would be an easy submission.
It's a quick tap. That'd be great. Who would win, Kanye or Wiz?
Oh, you know what? Wiz, yes, he has a length, not the size.
I see McGregor-ish.
For Wiz?
For Wiz. He's long, he's lanky.
Yeah, but
smokes
he's
weed, probably does yoga. He can do all those awkward, crawling things on the ground. McGregor, and then you just,
Or back when, Anderson Silva, kind of lanky-ish.
Yes.
But I see Kanye more of he's bigger, he's stronger. It looks like he has that power to just knock you out in one punch.
Yeah,
within 10 seconds. Conor McGregor was impressive with his 13 seconds with Jose Aldo, but let's not forget, Johnny Hendricks, his left hook.
I can't count out Wiz only because I've seen what people who do a lot of drugs do in the octagon. One, the Diaz brothers. They can take a punch, they can fight. No one hurts the Diaz brothers.
That's true.
Wiz could be like that. Two, John Jones. He did a different type of drug.
Yes.
But there was some weed in his car. He was fueled by it. He's the best fighter in the world. I got to give it to
Wiz. Pound for pound, number one. You know what? You do bring some good points. And how I would see it is it's like a John Jones against a Daniel Cormier.
Oh, I'll
high
give you that.
Insights, right?
That's true. And a little bit of blow mixed in. Let's talk about some real UFC stuff.
Yes.
196 could be gone. It's not
well,
gone, but it's
now
gone
it's
from
barely saved thanks to Big Rig and Stephen Thompson. But
Wonder Boy.
Now it got demoted to Fox Sports 1.
Yes. They didn't add anything to that card.
No.
Which is weird. I think you'd add at least one more fight, regardless of where it was.
But tell me what's more weird. That card or Fabricio Werdum? What is going on?
Well, the guy wasn't healthy.
He pulls out after they announce his new opponent is Stipe Miocic, who just knocked out Andrei Arlovsky just a month ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he probably had to watch film. And he was just like, oh, yeah, I'll take Miocic. He saw the film of that fight. I was like,
oh, I broke my toe.
Too hurt right now.
Yeah.
I think in his heart of hearts, he thought Kane was going to enter injured, because Kane is always banged up, and I think he had the mental edge over Kane, so he didn't care if he was injured or not. I think he would, like, he knew, okay, I'm going to win this fight, and I can fight Kane. I beat him before. I got it. Easy. Stipe is coming in confident. He's coming in off of a win, and
he wasn't even touched.
Yeah, like, the guy hasn't been really hit in probably 6 months. Yes. So he's 100%.
Absolutely.
And that's scary.
But do you think it's cowardly of Werdum? I mean, obviously, if you look at it, you know, being the title holder, yes, it's smart, you know, to play it safe. But a lot of people now are kind of attacking him on social media, Stipe and his manager included, on Twitter. Have you read their beef,
yeah,
quote unquote?
Stipe had some funny stuff to say. I mean, after, I guess, he was called a firefighter, he said, you know, I can't wait, you know, keep my belt nice and close to you, because then I'll let you ride in the fire truck.
Yeah,
after
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. I would love that, because Memorial Day weekend cards are here in Vegas.
Yes.
So it's always nice to go to fights, and it's cool to see that the back and forth is there, because for as good as a fight as Werdum and Kane could have been, and you know, the first one didn't live up to it because of altitude, supposedly, but this rematch is supposed to be really good. They don't sell the fight. They don't talk. They don't talk trash. They don't go back and forth.
That's true.
You can sell this. You can sell Werdum versus Stipe. The trash talk
now
is there.
Now it's there. And especially, you know, I'll never forget, and I'm sure you were at the fight where Stipe knocked out Andre, where he went, like, berserk, you know, in the ring, and he's like, I want my shot. Like, now he's ready, he's amped, he's pumped, and he's being more outspoken about this. But my question is, okay, say, you know, Werdum really is injured, which, you know, the claims are he is, and Velasquez is injured. When they're both healed, is Werdum going to fight Kane again, or will he be fighting Stipe?
I think Kane has lost his shot, and that's just because when the rematch was, you know, given to Kane, there was no clear number one contender. Now there is. And Kane is such an injury risk. You can be an injury risk when you're the champion. So they gave him that leeway, that rope, to get injured and back out of a fight late notice. He did it the first Mexico card. And then finally they're like, Werdum has to be the interim champion.
Yes.
And they kept giving Kane chances and keeps getting injured. Now he's not the champion. You run out of those chances when you're not the champion. Now when you come back, you can be healthy. Take a warm-up fight. Let them re-sign what's-his-face with the crazy muscles.
Oh my gosh, are you
talking? Muay Thai guy. He's a free agent. I'll think of it.
Free agent Pride.
I don't know why I forgot his name.
I just blanked, but I have
his face. Yes, yes. Did he date the cage chick? He dated Ariane. It's a horrible description of him.
Oh.
But
I know who you're talking about.
I'm literally going to Google Ariane Celeste boyfriend, and I'm sure he'll come up.
Which boyfriend?
Big one. Oh, God.
But I know who you're talking about.
But Kane will have to fight someone. Someone like that. I don't know if we want to see him versus JDS again, because JDS got wrecked.
JDS has not looked the same in a very long time. I'm a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know. He hit that wall quick.
Literally, and he never got back up.
Yeah. He may be done.
He used to be one of my favorite heavyweights to watch, though.
Alistair Overeem. There you go.
Overeem.
Yes.
Oh, they dated?
Yeah, for a second.
Interesting.
She's dated a lot of people.
Oh.
That's a whole different subject.
That's for the after-hours show.
Overeem versus Kane, I think, would be a great fight. Overeem's trying to prove that he deserves a title shot. Kane is often injured. Kane, come back, prove that you can stay healthy, fight Overeem. If you can't fight Overeem, cool, we can replace you. It's as simple as that, but
Having
to replace him in title fights just doesn't make sense anymore.
Has Overeem re-signed yet?
He has not re-signed yet. I don't think they've re-signed any of that, like, crop yet. It's him, a couple other fighters that they're waiting to get in. I think Overeem's top priority, though.
Oh, absolutely. But I wonder how Overeem feels, you know, knowing that, okay, he's going to have to wait in line behind Stipe. And then let's not forget Barnett and, you know, Ben Rothwell this weekend, and we'll be able to see how they do. Yeah. And there's quite a few, even in 196, Jared Rochal, you know, he's fighting. So many heavyweights are hungry, and that top 10 is kind of like...
I don't think Overeem signs without a guarantee that he's going to get the next shot. I think that's his leverage. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be like, okay, cool, give me the shot, I'll come back. He might sign, they might announce it, you know, for that Memorial Day card, and maybe he fights again in September. This is the first time, and, you know, knock on wood, Verdum's health is okay, but this is the first time when the heavyweight division isn't logjammed because of Kane's injuries. We can see three heavyweight title fights this year.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm just, like, then why did Verdum, why didn't he just take the fight with Stipe when, if you really think about it, I mean, Stipe, he would have, what, like, less than 2 weeks to train, so he's kind of on the same boat, but Verdum kind of has the advantage because Stipe, he just fought, so if anything, he's more relaxed. He's like, okay, I just won, but, you know, let me relax, whereas Verdum has been training for a championship fight.
I think one thing champions now have to have in their head, and I think we've seen this, and this is the precedent. If you're a champion and you go late into the rounds and you get beat, you can get an immediate rematch. I think that's the precedent. If you're a champion and you get knocked out, you don't get your rematch. You get passed up. So I think...
Unless it's Ronda.
And she got passed. Because now...
Misha.
You know, Aldo's going to get passed. He got knocked out. But you look at other champions, you go, you lose a decision or something like that, you can get a rematch. Weidman even at least went into the fourth. He can possibly get a rematch, and he got stopped, so he was going to get passed until, you know, everything kind of went crazy. So I think Verdum is smart. He looked back and he said, Kane's not going to knock me out. If I lose, it'll be a tough fight. We'll go. I got a rematch. Stipe, healthy, who just came off of, you know, taking someone's face off in Arlovski, if he gets knocked out by him, he can get jumped. Kane will get healthy. So now it's Kane versus Stipe. And you don't know when that next title shot is coming. So with someone who has knockout power, I don't think you can risk going in not 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's smart for him, and people don't like that. You know, when...
Well, because they want to see something, you know, exciting. Yeah. But imagine being someone who bought the tickets in advance or booked their hotel expecting the 196.
Well, now they get to watch the Super Bowl in Las Vegas the next day. So
true.
That's cool.
Johnny Hendricks, his fights are always exciting, right?
I was expecting a heavy Mexican crowd because Bossy Matches, who have a Mexican fighter, do really well here. We've seen Canelo. We've seen Marquez.
Yes.
They have good followings. I expected a heavy Mexican crowd for Kane. I'm surprised we're not seeing another Hispanic fighter kind of step in and take that spot. But I thought we'd see Anthony Pettis, regardless pay-per-view or not, because at least you give the Hispanic fans I anticipate to be here someone to root for.
But Anthony just lost.
Yeah, but he feels he can come back right away. I think.
But I haven't been impressed with Anthony for a while.
He has no
takedown
defense.
Since the Wheaties box.
Yes, no takedown defense.
Yeah, it got exposed.
Which is still weird. We talked about this a little bit last week. He has Ben Askren in his gym, probably one of the best wrestlers in the world for MMA wrestling.
Yes.
And he can't wrestle. I don't know what he does every day. You just go against this guy every day. Don't work
just
on your hands.
Against,
don't do anything. Just work against this guy every
day.
Ben
Askren, he's a champion in his promotion.
Exactly. It's so weird that he doesn't use that resource to his maximum capability. So, I mean, Pettis wants to get right back in there. It looks like Khabib is going to fight in May. He's not ready yet. That would have been a good replacement. Another person who wanted to be a replacement, if it was for the title.
John Jones.
John Jones said he would fight
Bones
in heavyweight
Jones.
if it was for the real title, not interim. But I don't know what's wrong with the interim title.
I don't know if you've been following John Jones on Instagram.
I have.
But he has been looking like he's bulked up a lot.
He's huge.
I would actually want to see him move up to heavyweight.
I thought him and Stipe would be great. They're both coming off a short notice.
Yes.
Stipe obviously fought a lot more recent than John. But still, they both have the same time to prepare. He doesn't have to cut weight, and that's the key.
Yes.
Because you're not fighting at 205. If right now, at max, he could weigh 245, 250. That's under the heavyweight limit. That's perfectly fine. Roll out of bed tomorrow and fight. It's that simple. You keep all the muscle mass. This would be the strongest John Jones we've ever seen. It would have been a great opportunity. And he didn't want an interim belt. Any belt counts.
Wow. And we have some breaking news as well.
Wow.
UFC 196 just, and this is from MMAfighting.com, it will now be UFC Fight Night.
Wow.
Featured Hendricks and Wonderboy, and Dos Anjos and McGregor will now compete at UFC 196.
Incredible. So this makes me very happy, because that means we get a May card and a June card this year. Yes, I thought we were only going to get one. It is nice to get two. That means Vegas will probably have a May card.
And probably at the new arena, right?
That's a very good question. No, I think they close out the old arena. Even though the new arena will be open.
Okay.
But I think they want their first fight in the new arena to be 200.
Oh.
Like the nostalgia
of it. I can see that in July.
Yeah. So in May, I think they do the last fight. And maybe they do a whole celebration of... this is our last fight in the old MGM Arena.
Wow.
And then June, we probably get another one, which is great. In my opinion, I think Dana White's thinking the same thing, bad to kind of put words in his mouth, that the June card, you can sell as a pay-per-view because he's just going to throw CM Punk on it. He wants to do it before UFC 200. He thinks that's going to sell with McGregor and whoever else is on it. And I think Punk is the perfect person to throw on that June card. Just Punk, anyone else, you know, let Punk be the co-main, obviously, of the pay-per-view, but throw someone else on there as the main event. You could throw, you know, Mighty Mouse on there.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
He doesn't sell well, but he's a champion.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's fine. Throw him on there, and that'll be a great opportunity for him. And CM Punk's going to sell whatever pay-per-view you throw him on. So throw him on a June card. Put it in Chicago. Put it in his backyard. Pack it and roll from there.
So do you think that CM Punk will be able to sell like a Conor McGregor?
I think his first fight, I think we saw the same thing.
But
just
even though his opponent
it's an amateur fight on a UFC stage. I've been saying it this whole time. It's so weird to me. I thought CM Punk wanted to be a UFC fighter. He does not want to be a UFC fighter.
Oh, he doesn't.
He wants to fight on the UFC platform because he's fighting amateur fighters. I thought at least give him a guy, 15 fights, who've lost four in a row, somebody you're about to cut. Give him a UFC caliber fighter. He's not fighting a UFC caliber fighter. He's fighting another rookie, another amateur. We just had Mike Jackson on last week's show, who is fighting Mickey Gall to see who's going to fight CM Punk. And me and Mike are cool and everything, and he'll admit, he'll say it out his own mouth. He's an amateur still. He's had a couple pro fights, but he's not UFC caliber. So he knows what this is. This is kind of like a one-off thing. But sooner or later for CM Punk, he's going to have to fight a UFC caliber person. Or this has just all been a sideshow. And he just wants one fight, he wants to hold his hand up, and then he's going to retire and go
pop
out babies with AJ Lee. I don't know.
She's retired, too, right?
She has retired.
Okay.
As well. I know many people from the podcast are sad about that. We had a lot of AJ Lee fans.
Really? Was she a great diva?
She was a good diva. People would say great. She was not a great wrestler.
But what was...
People liked her personality and character.
Oh.
She's cute. So
okay.
I can see it. Not the greatest wrestler. She wasn't as bad as the Bellas, though. You know, she wasn't...
They're not that good.
No, they're not very good at all. I mean, CM Punk, I think that's what you do. He just wants the platform. They just want the money. Put it in Chicago, get your money, and then...
Let that be it.
Let's talk some boxing, though.
Yes.
Because...
And you were talking about, you know, the Well, obviously Velasquez and all the Mexican fans, right?
Correct. And saw a lot of Mexican fans this past weekend. I went and covered
Garcia Guerrero
fight in L.A. It was fun. I love when they have the early start times. I was out of there by like 8:30.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was just...
What time did their start?
5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock, and then there was 3 fights.
Wow. So Garcia, he won.
Garcia won.
Unanimous.
It was closer than I expected. Guerrero has incredible heart. He's looked the best he's looked in probably 3 fights. I thought he was done. But he came in. He gave Danny a test, especially in those early rounds. He won a couple of those just really handedly. And Garcia's Garcia. He looks mediocre, and he fights up to his competition. He fights down to his competition.
Yeah.
That's not what stars do, in my opinion. If you have a lesser fighter, you knock him out. If you have someone equal to you, you box and you're able to pull out the fight. But to me, he didn't do that. He didn't heighten his star value, and I don't know how they sell him. There's a couple fighters who called him out, and I know why.
Amir Khan's one of them. Even though he lost to him before by knockout, I think it was in, 2012?
Yeah, and a lot of people, one, it's at a lighter weight. People think Amir Khan looks better and healthier at 147. Mm-hmm. He's a tall guy. That might be true. He might have more power. And a lot of people thought Amir Khan was winning the first 3 rounds of that fight, and then Danny knocks him out in 4th. So I can see why Amir Khan wants that. And after seeing Danny Garcia in his last couple fights, no one's scared of him. The guy has a belt now. He has one of Floyd's vacated belts. And you try to pick the weakest champion and say, give me your belt. And that's what Amir Khan is. He's tired of getting passed over.
So, but speaking of Amir Khan, though, there's been so much surrounding him in the tabloids with, obviously, you know, he mentioned he wants to fight with Danny Garcia, and then Floyd Mayweather. I feel like everybody loves to talk about Floyd, from Conor McGregor to Amir Khan. What is going on?
You would think the guy is not retired, right?
He's not.
I mean, no one believes it. He did leave it open-ended at the fight when he was interviewed that he... for right now is retired. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But Amir Khan didn't get it when Floyd Mayweather was active. He had like 3 shots at getting the Mayweather fight. He got passed up every time. He's not getting it if it's a come out of retirement fight. So he just let the pipe dream go find someone else to fight. Kell Brook is British. Amir Khan is British. That's so great. Go get that fight. It's weird. Amir Khan's like the mean girl in high school who's not even popular. So, like, you have, like, the popular girls in high school, and then you have that one mean girl who's just mean for no reason and stuck up.
The bully.
Yes.
Okay.
He's, like, the bully of boxing because he thinks he's above all these other fighters who have belts, but he thinks he's out of their class. And then he thinks he's in Mayweather's class, but Mayweather is the really pretty chick, and he's like,
pretty.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm really pretty and popular. Stay down there. Get away from me.
And Mayweather's like, yeah, I will go cry with my $300 million that I made in one fight.
That's always the trump card right there. Mayweather just pull that out and just throw it on the table. Right?
Yeah, maybe he'll give Amir a couple dollars to wipe his tears with.
He needs it. He hasn't, you know, been active. I don't know how he's making money. You know, just following Floyd around, teasing him, isn't lucrative.
Going to watch Warriors games. I think he was at one of them recently.
I don't know. Amir's taking the press tour. He needs to take a fight. He's just lost right now. Like, he doesn't know where he fits in. And it's the best division in boxing, which is mind-boggling.
The most competitive.
Yes, you can find an opponent if you want an opponent.
Yes.
It's literally that easy. Just, you know, just throw your name in the ring. Al Haymon will get you somebody. He has everyone. You can fight Keith Thurman. You can fight Sean Porter. You can fight Kell Brook. You can fight Danny Garcia. The list goes on. You can fight Errol Spence, who's young and hungry for, you know, a top flight fighter. Fight Guerrero. Fight somebody. Anybody. Just fight, and he won't do it. And he's just chasing Floyd. And then he chased Pacquiao this past year. And then now he's not able to fight again.
Wow. But you just mentioned Sean Porter. He's fighting Keith Thurman in March.
Great matchup. It's in Connecticut, which is weird.
Yeah.
Is Connecticut nice in March? I haven't been to Connecticut since I was like 4.
All I know is some of my friends are in Connecticut, Bristol, Connecticut, and they're telling me, they're like, Helen, you don't want to be in the East Coast right now. Let me just tell you that. They're like swimming in snow.
Well, hopefully that clears up by March, but who drives to Connecticut? I don't know. I don't understand the choice in venue. Neither of those guys have ties to the area. Keith Thurman's from Florida.
So we have, Florida, and we have, where's Porter from?
Porter,
West Coast, right?
Yeah, no, he lives here in Vegas, which is...
So we have a Vegas local, someone from Florida. I choose Connecticut. We're doing it there.
I'm assuming Connecticut has no state taxes. This is my assumption, because they love doing boxing in states without state tax, which is why Vegas is the hub of combat sports. Florida also has no state tax, and neither does Texas. Both are better venues than that. Go to Texas. Do the Alamo Dome. Canelo loves the Alamo Dome. Go fight down there.
What if they're finding a venue that's smaller? Because how well do you think this fight will sell?
Probably not great, but it has to sell worse in Connecticut. I don't picture Connecticut.
It's like,
let's
go on a trip to Connecticut. Let's watch the fights and take a vacation there.
I literally know nothing about Connecticut. Like, dude.
It's near New York.
Yeah, it's like a little bit up above New York. I know about UConn. I'm assuming they have great seafood. It's on the
great pizza. I'm there if there's good pizza.
Yeah, there has to be something. I don't know what their just decision-making process had. And I know they wanted it here in Vegas, March 5th. And then that got thrown out the window, so they had to scramble. Because UFC took the date. They didn't hold it. They're bad. You know, they missed out on it. But now, it's just like you have all these other options. You choose Connecticut. So now you're just counting on your television money. And to get viewers and to get advertisers, and hopefully people see it that way. But no one wants to see an empty arena.
I wish I knew what they were thinking. Maybe that'll be one of the questions that you and I can ask them.
Definitely. I don't know. It's going to be a great fight, though. I mean, the two guys, the matchup itself is incredible. Sean Porter's a great fighter. He wants to fight. I went back and watched that Kell Brook fight, his only loss so far, and that was for the title. And Kell Brook held a lot of that fight. I don't want to use ran, because that's like a negative connotation. People say that about Mayweather all the time. But he used a defensive boxing style. He used the ring. Sean tried to cut him off. He wasn't able to. And Kell Brook landed enough punches to steal some rounds. Did I have him winning? No. But at the same time, Sean didn't do enough to really prove that he won either. So I don't see Keith Thurman being able to do that. Keith Thurman's not going to run. He's shown some better boxing skills lately, but one time is one time for a reason. He wants to knock him out with one punch, and I think they're going to stand in front of each other and just slug it out. A lot of people, pick Thurman because they saw Porter get knocked down in his last fight late by Broner, and Broner's not known for his power, but that was just a quick punch. Everyone gets caught.
That's true.
You don't know what can drop you. He still won that fight.
Aldo got caught.
Caught early and quick. He's still crying about that, by the way.
Yeah, he wants a rematch.
Yeah, he's not going to fight again until he gets it.
Wow, are they going to make that happen? I don't know. I think Frankie Edgar deserves his shot.
No, definitely. I guess after Frankie, there's really no one left. Maybe Aldo can fight again. It's such a weird division. I'm glad Conor moved up. He has a lot more competition.
And he looks healthier.
Right? Everyone's just getting bigger.
Yeah, in all sports,
boxing, MMA, wrestling, everyone's just getting bigger. I don't know what's going on. And, I'm not saying steroids, people, but they just look healthier. They're fighting in the right weight class. There's better nutritionists. I just saw Big Rick talk about nutritionists.
Is he still working with Mike Dolce?
No, he got a different one, not Dolce this time.
Because he didn't make weight against Tyrone Woodley.
Yep.
And I really wanted to see that fight.
And Woodley doesn't want to fight until he has a title shot.
No one wants to fight until they have a title shot.
It's so weird. And in boxing, you say the same thing. I interviewed Sean Porter at the announcement event before Guerrero Garcia, and he said the same thing. He said this is one of the best camps that he's had in his life. His last two fights, even though, they've been marketed at 147, they were catch weights at 144. So the 3 pounds makes a world of a difference. His health, how he's able to eat, how he's able to manage his weight. And we're seeing smarter fighters when it comes to that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And hopefully, you know, it limits the injuries, it limits the concussions.
Yes, and that's one of the goals. And also, you know, UFC, they're going to open their new headquarters here.
Yes.
And one of their goals.
You're at the groundbreaking, right?
Yes, you too, right?
I was not there that
day.
I don't know what I was doing that day.
Hey, there's a lot of fights and events happening here. Let's just put it that way. But, I remember, you know, them announcing and stating that their mission is to make sure these fighters are healthy, you know, and so hopefully we won't see any more, oh, Velasquez injured, you know, 2 weeks before the fight.
All
oh,
the time,
Werdum's
yeah.
injured now, you know, so we want to see more fights and good matchups and fighters making weight, of course.
Why do you think that boxing has less injuries than MMA? Like, leading up to
that
fights?
That is a great question.
I have, like, my theory, and we've talked about it on the podcast with a couple of people who've come in and different guests. Just want to know kind of, like, your thoughts on it.
That is a great question. Obviously it has something to do with their camp. Training camp, sparring.
Yeah.
I remember when I was interviewing, you know, a couple fighters during their training camps, and like I'll go in there and they would tell me, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, I hurt my wrist, or I like, you see them with a black eye, and I just feel like maybe it has to do with their training.
No, definitely. My theory of it is that you have all these world-class fighters in boxing and MMA, but in MMA, people are world-class at different things. So you put, like, a jiu-jitsu guy in the same training session as one of the best strikers in the world. He shouldn't be striking against the best striker. He takes a, get hit in the head, gets a concussion.
That's true.
And vice versa. You put one of the best strikers in the world against, you know, one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the world, and they, you know, tear his ACL or something.
Yes.
Or rip his leg off. The guy is not a world-class jiu-jitsu guy. So it's kind of like when people train in those big gyms and try to train all disciplines, and they're going
Absolutely.
Against someone else who's top flight, you know, it leads to injuries. If you don't, I don't want to say they don't know what they're doing, but it's different levels.
Oh, definitely. And I agree with what you're saying, that also where it's like, you know, boxing, it's boxing, but when it comes to MMA, you know, it's like there are some guys, what they're good at, kickboxing, Muay Thai, judo, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. There's so many different elements of it that, you know, it's not surprising that they're more prone to getting injured quicker.
Exactly. Now that we've run through all the stuff that we had to run through, for everyone listening to the podcast, we're actually having a special wrestling episode later this week, so we don't talk wrestling today.
Oh, pro wrestling.
Yes, even though we're talking off air and you love
yes,
pro wrestling.
Yes, I do.
I want to talk a little bit more about you and just let people know about you. So,
okay.
Let's start with pro wrestling. You loved pro wrestling growing up and you were a fan of it.
Yes.
I'm trying to recruit you back to pro wrestling.
Oh, yes, I probably will. Maybe this weekend, you know, if we go check out some matches. But so for the listeners, yeah, my name is Helen Yee. I have a radio show, Eyes on the Game. It's on NBC Sports, AM 920, Monday nights at 10 p.m. But growing up, I was a big wrestling fan. I was actually a swimmer, two-time state champion.
Wow. Did you grow up out here? In
yep.
Vegas?
Born and raised in Las Vegas. Sierra Vista High School, class
nice.
Of 09. Are
nice.
You're not Vegas local.
I went to high school in Vegas. Rancho
you
High
did.
School, class
my
of
brother, 06. My brother went to Rancho, too.
Really?
He was class of 01.
Wow.
This is crazy. And my sister-in-law was class of 02.
Nice. Yeah, I got there in 03.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, wow. But Sierra Vista, cool.
Yeah, Sierra Vista. Yes,
yes,
go Mountain Lions. So I was, you know, state champion there in 08, my junior year. I was a swimmer growing up. Almost qualified for the Olympic trials when I was 14 years old.
Wow.
But due to my parents and they wanted me to focus on academics, they, you know, I kind of gave swimming up, let's just put it that way, but my passion was always athletics and sports, watching sports with my dad. I got into pro wrestling with my younger brother, who's 5 years younger than me, and we would watch religiously. I mean, I'm talking Monday Night Raw, Tuesday ECW, Thursday, you know, TNA, Friday SmackDown, and then the hour rerun of Raw on the weekends. And I was like staying up late for all that on the days it wasn't on. That's how I fell, you know, in love and fell into the combat sports, you know, MMA, the boxing, because I needed that fix.
See, now we got to get you back into it, because it goes Monday Night Raw, and then you have Tuesdays Lucha Underground on El Rey, then Wednesday
what?
We have NXT on the WWE Network, then Thursday SmackDown, Friday TNA, the weekends
no way.
Are yours,
so, what?
And then
so
Sunday
they covered it all now.
Yep, it's back.
It's back, and it seems
right.
Better than ever.
It really is.
And John Cena's not winning all the time.
Yes, that's the best part. Super Cena's kind of being shoved out of
and
the picture.
Daniel Bryan, right? He
may
got
never
injured.
Come back. Yeah.
Yeah, what happened with his injury?
Concussion.
Okay.
They won't clear him.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my
god. Got
gosh.
Cleared by, like, an independent doctor, but not the WWE's guy.
Who?
They don't want a lawsuit. So.
Yeah, but who was the one? Who was he fighting?
Good question. It was like after WrestleMania, they didn't even pinpoint like the exact point in which it happened. He just came to like a Monday Night Raw show and was like, oh, I have another concussion. Let me give up my belt.
Wow.
So he might be forced to retire. But, you know, we see guys cross over like CM Punk and Brock Lesnar go back and forth. And
yeah, Brock.
Maybe CM Punk might come back. A lot of his friends are now in the WWE, coincidentally.
Did you, but speaking of Brock, did you like him better in UFC or WWE?
I like Brock's personality a lot better in the UFC. I thought he was able to talk. You kind of get his character, and he's interesting. He's a heel in himself. Like, he doesn't need the script. He doesn't need Paul Heyman.
No, you just need to see him, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, he was good at talking. In the WWE, they just want him to be a monster. You know, be
That's
seen,
true.
Not heard. They have Paul Heyman be his mouthpiece, and he does his work, and he goes home. He was way better in the UFC, in my opinion, because it was real. And he's really taking
and
people's
he was
off.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, before
his injury.
Yeah, and the illness and everything. I love that. And hopefully we see more people go from wrestling to...
And crossover.
Yeah, and crossover to MMA. I just did an article yesterday. It could be today. I get my days mixed up. Who knows nowadays?
I know, it's like Wednesday.
It was Kurt Angle. He's...
Kurt
47,
Angle.
He's getting done with TNA. At 47. His contract's about to be over. He's coming off a bad injury, neck injury, but he's getting healthy. So he's finishing up that contract, and he's announcing for Bellator now. And they asked him about taking a one-off fight in Bellator, because Shamrock, he'll be on the announce team for Shamrock versus Hoist.
Yeah,
coming up.
And then
and
Kimbo Spice
versus
Dada 5000.
Yeah, don't get a start. Start on that
Dada, who, is that his real name?
Yeah, like, it's some Miami-based backyard YouTube brawl. It's weird.
Okay. I'll have to YouTube that.
Yes, there's actually a very good documentary on it on Netflix. That's actually amazing.
On them two? Or
Dada 5000. And, like, where... Kimbo left off, and he picked it up and ran, like, backyard fights. Very good.
Okay.
But, so, they asked Kurt Angle, like, would you be able to do one
fight?
Up? And he said, yeah, if it's against, like, someone older,
wow.
He'd be up to do it. Like, Kimbo or Shamrock would be great. Like, those are the two people he would love to fight. I would love to see that.
Me too.
Kurt Angle, 20 years ago, coming out of the Olympics, if MMA was as prominent as it is now, he would have been in the UFC.
He was actually one of my favorites. I think at one point.
Athletic, talented.
Yeah, I was. No, I didn't buy his book, but I mean, I bought a lot of pro wrestlers' books, but yeah, he was definitely one of my favorites, and even in TNA, I was very excited to see him, you know, out there and.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird because he's a great wrestler. He's going to be a Hall of Fame wrestler. He's had an amazing pro wrestling career. But I think he could have been a champion in the UFC. Like, if it was as prominent, he was one of those guys probably that the WWE isn't going to get again. It's going to be hard
That's
for him to
true.
Get Olympians just right off the street. Because go use your Olympic wrestling and go test, you know, MMA. And I think we're going to see that more and less of the WWE angle. because it's another avenue. It's actual competition. You get to fight and make good money now. So I think we're going to see that change. But Kurt Angle would have been great doing that, kind of like both sports. You've covered a lot of events, though. I mean, I've seen you everywhere. What's your favorite event so far that you've covered or been to?
It's hard to answer that. I've had quite a few. I mean, I love sports, like, diehard. I mean, since I was 9 years old, watching, you know, with my dad on the couch, watching basketball, even baseball. I remember it, I'd be, like, in fifth grade, and I wouldn't do my homework. Well, I would eventually do it, you know, after the games would end.
Telling on yourself.
But hey, I was so a straight-A student. But my dad, he would let me, you know, only watch sports, nothing else. Like, if I wanted to watch SpongeBob or whatnot, he'd be like, hey, you have to go to bed now. But if it was sports, I could watch the whole game with him. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. So I remember, you know, Allen Iverson, like, when the Sixers and everything. And it was... So now covering, being able to cover the events, I love it all. But one of the most amazing experiences is probably covering a Laker game at the Staples Center.
Wow.
And you can't beat that crowd and how much history is in that arena. And I'll never forget, because I had to write an article for it as well, just how electric everybody was and how much they love their team, even though the Lakers haven't done well at all, you know, but they just, they still love them. They still support them. And, you know, obviously seeing Kobe Bryant, and it's just like, you know, something you always wanted to see since you were young, and I'm sure you too, right?
Definitely. I've still never seen Kobe play, which is weird. I've covered other stuff in the Staples, never been there to cover a Lakers game. But I did cover the NBA Finals last year, and I got to see LeBron play and practice, and Steph Curry. So I've seen, like, this next generation of superstars play. And, I mean, I watched Steph Curry at the practices last year before the Finals, and I was just in awe. Because no one should do that. He's like a real-life video game.
He really is. But yet he's built like, you know, no superhuman.
No. It's just all work ethic. It's crazy how he just practiced and practiced and practiced. And you can see that every day. He still practices all
Absolutely.
The time. There was not a downtime in his practice. Every minute, every second was planned. He had to have shot at least 700 shots in one practice.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Maybe close to 1,000. But what's your favorite event that you've ever covered or your most memorable?
Wow, we're letting the fans get to know me more. Most memorable, I guess. I mean, I haven't been covering events for as long as other people, which is, you know.
How long have you been covering it?
3 years. A little over 3 years.
Okay.
Since my first event. Been writing for longer, but... Covering events.
Yeah, me too. I started off as a writer.
Yeah, covered events for a little over three years now. My first event still probably sticks in my head, and I've covered a lot. People are probably like, what? You know, you got to see UFC 189. You saw, you know, the Anderson Silva break his leg and all this stuff. Those were great. Finals was great, but my favorite event is still Pacquiao Marquez. What is that for? That was my first event ever. Went and... I thought Pacquiao was going to win and knock him out, and when Marquez landed that punch...
Oh, is that where those memes...
And the memes started, and the roar from the Mexican crowd, and the pride, and just them going crazy. It took me probably like 45 minutes to an hour to get from where I was sitting with the press to the press room. Because every 5 seconds, the entire Mexican crowd will stop and go, ole, ole, ole.
Oh, that's what the Irish crowd did.
Marquez. Like, and they go crazy, and they had their flags, and it was like Rey Mysterio luchador mask.
Whoa, Rey Mysterio, they had, 619.
I'm telling you, they had Rey Mysterio mask. They had wrestlers from, like, old school WCW mask on. Like,
wow.
It was crazy. They all had different Lucha Libre mask, all Mexican colors. They wore, like, outfits that was all Mexican out, and they were going crazy. And I just remember that atmosphere, and it being my first event that I've covered, it was just like, wow. Like, this is what it's like?
Yes.
I was like, oh, yeah. I love this job.
I know, fights are amazing. You know, even, like, the UFC crowd's incredible. Like, the McGregor, Mendes,
yeah.
They did that, too. It took me a long time, too, to get to the arena, to even the parking lot.
Yes, the MGM is poorly built.
It's so hard to get around. They make you walk.
Yeah, and through fans. So before we get out of here, though, let everyone know where to find your show again, all your social media and everything like that.
Yes, my show, Eyes on the Game, is on NBC Sports AM 920 on Monday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. You can follow me on my social media at Helen, HelenYeeE, Sports, and that's for all of it, and I will update you guys more on there.
Thank you for joining us today, Helen. Once again, especially, I called you, like, super late notice. Thank you for clearing your schedule and,
absolutely.
Like, coming to talk with us.
And hey, Andreas, he tweeted me something yesterday to hold it down for him, so I hope he's proud.
I'm telling you, we need to kick him off of here.
Thank you so much for having me, though. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. The pleasure is definitely all mine. The listeners are going to love you, I'm sure. As they listen to this, all you guys know where to follow us. It's The Corner LSN on all social media. You know where to follow me, at Kel Dansby, on every platform. And then stay tuned. Like I said, we're going to have an entire wrestling show because there was so much wrestling last weekend. I'll have a special guest for that one as well. So stay tuned for that later in the week. Andreas will be back next week. We're trying to book a really cool guest as well for next week just to keep you guys entertained. Until then, we're out.
Yeah, but eventually even that has an end.